Have you ever given somebody something, or maybe you've done something for somebody and you really worked hard on that? Maybe it was an expensive gift. Maybe it was something that that you had going on, and you were very proud to be able to do something for another person. And then once you did, you just didn't feel like the level of gratitude that they had toward what you had done for them matched the effort or energy that you had put into it. I believe if we're honest with ourselves, each and every one of us have been in a situation like that, because usually what happens is the words will come back, yet whether they're in our mind or maybe we even say them to somebody else, but we'll sit back and say, "Will you see if I ever do something like that for them again?" It's almost like a child that's not grateful for the things that have been done for them. And we've all been there. We all know. We all understand that. But Jesus addresses that in the miracle that we're going to look at today. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it. Turn it over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I'm so glad that you're joining us today as we take these moments to gather around God's Word, to study it, that we might learn more, that we might draw closer to Him. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over there, Luke chapter 17. And today, we're going to look into another miracle in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus performs a miracle of healing 10 lepers. Now, this story not only demonstrates for us Jesus' compassion, and there's that word again, compassion. Throughout all these miracles, one of the primary things that we have seen in our study is the compassion of Jesus. Do we reflect that compassion in our lives today as we go forward as followers of His? But not only does He demonstrate compassion, He also demonstrates divine authority, and He teaches us lessons about three different things. He teaches us lessons about gratitude, about faith, and about spiritual restoration. So with no further ado, let's look at our scripture text today. It's Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading at verse 11. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. It says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem and passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourself to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're so grateful and thankful for these moments that we have to be able to gather around your word. And Lord, as always, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts in a very special way. Lord, we can draw close to you by whatever means. Your word does not return void. So today I pray that in the midst of all the push and shove of the world, that we will take these moments to concentrate upon you. Lord, that we might learn lessons. And Father, if we already know these lessons, I pray that we may be more zealous to apply them in our lives as we walk with you, Lord, as we represent you in this particular world. So Lord, I also ask as always that as your messenger for these next few moments, that you would fill me with the Spirit, that the Spirit would use me to speak your words to those that will listen wherever they may be. So right now, Father, this time is yours. We dedicate it to you, and we ask for your blessing, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we begin to get into this this particular miracle of the Master today, this happened on Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. You see, he was traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, in this region, he encouraged, he encounters a group of lepers along the way. Now, there are certain things that we need to understand about leprosy. Like I said, historic context gives us a whole lot of stuff that we need to know. But leprosy in biblical times was a severe and isolating disease. Many it caused individuals to be ostracized from society. In fact, many of you, whether you've ever experienced them somewhere along the way, you probably heard of leper colonies. This comes from back in that particular day. If somebody had leprosy, people were afraid of them. They were afraid that it was something that was going to be contagious. And therefore, they couldn't even, in a lot of cases, live in the same cities. Often they would create leper colonies, and that's where the lepers would have to stay together out in those colonies. Now, if they were still mainstreamed into society, there were laws on the books that basically stated that if a leper was walking down the street and would encounter another citizen that was walking toward them, then they would have to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," and then the leper would have to cross the road to the other side. So you could see how embarrassing, but how big this thing was when it came down to leprosy. Man, they were just ostracized from society. Now, it says that Jesus encounters 10 lepers. The lepers' encounter with Jesus becomes a very pivotal moment, and it's highlighting Jesus' ministry, and it points out his inclusive nature, and it also points out his power to heal. So many times there are people that will sit back and question the authority of Jesus. Man, he has authority over everything. We have seen that in so many of our miracles, not only the supernatural, but also the natural. Like I said, he's the one that created the body. He knows everything about it. That's why we refer to him as the great physician. So back to our lepers, all right? The particular scripture begins with the lepers standing at a distance, And what that basically points out was the fact that they were adhering to the social norms. Remember, they couldn't get in the midst of people that were healthy people. So they were standing back, at a distance, and they were adhering to the social norms of that particular time. But even from that distance that they felt like was a safe distance, maybe it was a legal distance, according to what the law said, but it says that they cried out to Jesus. And they cried out to him, addressing him as master. And as they addressed him as master, they were pleading for mercy. Now remember what mercy means. Mercy means giving us something rather than what we deserve, okay? Every time I see that term mercy, I think about a game that we used to play when we were in elementary school where you'd lock hands with somebody and then you would try to see who could twist whose hand back the furthest, and then when the pain hit, all you had to do to be released from that hold was to say the word mercy. A lot of those very safe games that we played back in my day, like Red Rover and, the three-story sliding board, those were some good days, though. But at any rate, they're begging Jesus for mercy, and they've called him master, and he responds by instructing them. He gives them something to do. Jesus didn't say, "Okay, boys, come on over here. Let me see what's taking place. Let me see what's going on." Probably from the same distance that they were, Jesus gives them an order. He gives them a direction. And he says simply, "Go show yourself to the priest." Okay? Now, if you're not familiar with the law, the Levitical law, and the times of that particular day, you might sit back and say, "Well, what was that all about?" Well, back in that particular day, and in accordance with the Levitical law, in fact, the scripture reference for that is Leviticus 14, verses 2 through 32. I'll repeat that again if you want to go look at it. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 2 through 32. So, Levitical law stated that when somebody had maybe gotten through or been cured of this particular heinous disease of leprosy, the only way that they can be deemed clean again and re-enter society was that they had to go show themselves to the priest. The priest would be the one who would declare that they were healed from this terrible disease and that they were okay to be able to re-enter society. Much like being able to go going to the doctor in this day and age and the doctor has to give you a release before you can go back to work or before you could return to normal activities. Some of us, you know, tuned in today have probably had that before. Maybe there was a surgery or something that you had along the way, and you could not return to work until the doctor said, okay, here's your doctor's note saying it's all right for you to go back to work. And that day, according to Levitical law, the only way that you could be classified as cleansed from leprosy was that you had to have a note from the priest. So Jesus simply tells these 10 lepers, he says, maybe from the same distance where they were. It doesn't say that they came up to Jesus, Jesus called them over, or Jesus went to them. He just said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And although we don't have the context in here, we understand what Levitical law says when it comes down to the cleansing of leprosy. So essentially what Jesus was telling them, go show yourself to the priest. You've got an appointment with the priest so they can clear you from leprosy. But what was the problem with that? The problem with that was that they still had leprosy. At this particular moment becomes a point of faith along the way. Jesus was basically telling these 10 lepers, you know, okay, I've got it taken care of. You take the next step that says you're healed. You've got to go down there and you've got to talk to the priest. Well, what would we have done? Honestly, if you were in the shoes of one of those 10 lepers and you heard this and you all of a sudden you sit down and you look at your hands or your arms or whatever and you still have leprosy, you know, what is your first thought? Why should I go to the priest? I still have leprosy. But yet, you know, is it trust in Jesus to be obedient, to follow what he has called us to follow? You know, the priest was required to verify the healing, and these 10 lepers knew that. Jesus told them to go to the priest. What would they be going to the priest for? They would be going to the priest so that he could declare that they were healed. But yet, as they looked at themselves, they weren't healed. The leprosy was still there. Now, as they obey, and I want you to be very careful to pick this up today, as they obeyed his instruction, as they go on their way, that is when they experienced the healing. The obedience to do what Jesus told them to do brought forth the healing. You know, he talks about their faith in this. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, them saying, well, you know, Jesus told us to go to the priest, which means, you know, we're going to see if we can get declared cleansed from leprosy. The problem is we still have it, but I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go simply because that was the order of Jesus. Folks, listen, are we operating in our lives in that particular manner in the same way that these 10 lepers did? You know, when you're sitting back and Jesus tells you, go see the priest, are you doing that? Now, you understand what I'm saying. I'm talking figuratively here, because does that mean that you believe enough in what Jesus can do that as you're obedient to him, by the time you get to the priest, you'll be healed? That was essentially what Jesus was doing. Maybe it was a test, but whatever the reasoning behind it was, Jesus gave them the orders, and the orders were, go show yourself to the priest. And ironically enough, 10 of them did. They started heading that way. Now, the healing of the 10 lepers is a testament to the power of faith and obedience. Remember what we said in that regard. Now, I would like to throw a question out there. You can ponder it. We don't really know the answer to it, but you have to ask yourself, what would have happened if, you know, the lepers did not respond to Jesus in obedience? Do you think that they would have been healed? Now, when I interject something that I cannot prove from the scripture, I will always let you know. Now, to me, I usually call that the gospel according to Roy, okay? I believe with all of my heart that had those lepers not been obedient to the directives of Jesus, that they would not have been healed. I believe that with all my heart. You know, but because of their faith, because of their obedience, Jesus did something miraculous. Jesus didn't heal them immediately, but he required them to act in faith by going to see the priest. You know, some of us today that are gathered here may be going through that same thing. Jesus has asked us to do something, and we sit back and go, well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. You know what? Follow what he says for you to do. because the process may happen on your way to being obedient to what it is that Christ has asked us to do. I've seen that a number of times in my life. I have seen that a number of times in many other places. And I can still remember what I said, and I'll give you a little example of this, but back about 15 years ago when we were, you know, adding on the building at our church, and the preliminary costs were, you know, in the $6 and $7 million. And yet the bank said, we're not going to loan you any more than $2.2 million. And we said, well, we just keep on going because the plan is not my plan. The problem is not my problem. The problem is the Lord's. And that means the Lord also has a solution to that particular problem. So we kept on going forward. And I know people probably thought, this is crazy, man. You know, why are you continuing to plow forward when you know, they won't loan us a third of the money that it's going to take to do the project? Well, long story short, yeah, that was around 2008, 2009. If you remember, the housing market crashed. We had not missed a lick. And by the time we went to contract, the bid on the contract was, guess what? $2.2 million. That's what the bank said that they would loan us. And listen, that's a God thing. That has nothing to do with me. But we were faithful. We continued to plan as we had been led by the Lord. And He showed up in a great big way. And I want to encourage you, because if you're in a situation like that, if you're in a health situation, whatever the situation may be obedient to what God is leading you to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Because I promise you that sometimes along the way is when the miracles happen. Just like these lepers, their healing occurred as they obeyed His command. This act of faith is crucial. It demonstrates that they trusted in Jesus' word even before seeing the physical evidence of any kind of healing. You know, can you say that I have enough faith in what the Lord is leading me to do to follow His direction even when I can't see with my own two eyes? You know what that's called? That's called faith. I always said the most simple term of faith is believing in something even when you can't see it. And sometimes people say, well, I just don't have that much faith. I can't do that. And I usually respond to them, you do it all the time. And they're like, oh, okay, how so? You say I do it all the time. How do I do it all the time? I said, you don't have any trouble walking over and looking out a window and saying that it's a windy day. And my question to them is usually, have you ever seen the wind? And very often they'll say, yeah, I've seen the wind. I said, no, you haven't. You have seen the results of the wind. You've not seen the wind, yet you have no problem looking out and saying, it's windy. What is that basis on? The basis is on the things that you are seeing, the results of the wind, the blowing of the trees, the leaves that are blowing across the ground, whatever it may be. So Jesus is asking us to have faith in Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, as we continue to look at these lepers, the response of the one leper who returned to give thanks is significant in this passage. Well, you know what's significant about it? Is that he was a Samaritan. And this is the Samaritans were a group that were generally despised by the Jews. You've often heard the story of the Good Samaritan. Maybe along the way somebody had pointed that out to you, that the Samaritans and the Jews were pretty much socially at odds with one another. So the one that was coming back to give thanks to Jesus, who was a Jew, was a man who was a Samaritan, a group generally despised by the Jews. Now, his gratitude and worship highlights the universal nature of Jesus' ministry and the importance of recognizing and acknowledging God's work in our lives. You know, Jesus commands his faith saying this, or he commends his faith saying this. He said, your faith has made you well. That's in verse 19 of our text. Your faith. Remember, the fact that he looked at himself and he realized, I still have leprosy, but I'm going to trust Jesus to you know, take care of things by the time I get to the priest. Now, how would Jesus do that? There's a ton of ways he could have done it. But it says this, as they went, as they journeyed, as they were on their way to see the priest, they were made well. And the commendation was of this one man's faith who had returned to give thanks. Okay? Now, it says your faith has made you well. And this was a deep, this indicated that there was more than just a physical healing. There was a deep spiritual healing beyond that physical restoration as well. Now, when we think about this, this passage gives each and every one of us today a challenge. It challenges us to reflect on our own response to God's blessings. Now, remember how we started our Bible study? Remember when I asked you, I said, have you ever done something for somebody and it was a big deal? I mean, maybe you spent a lot of money on it. Maybe it was something that was challenging for you to do. Maybe you saved up for a while or whatever the case may have been. Whatever the circumstance or the situation was, you just didn't feel like when you presented it to that person that the gratitude was there. The thing that prompted you to sit back and say, well, I'll never do that again. And in a lot of ways, your feelings were probably hurt because it wasn't as big a deal to them as it was to you. How many times do in our spiritual lives and in our daily lives do we go about with a heart that is not as thankful as it should be? You know what? I think often we do. You know, too many times we'll run to the Lord in prayer and we'll cry out to Him like these lepers did, and we'll want the Lord to do some incredible things. And then when He does, let me ask you this question. How much time have we spent running back to Him and saying thank you? Or do we just take our blessing and run? So this passage challenges us to reflect on our own responses to God's blessings in our lives. Do we, like the nine lepers, take our blessings for granted and fail to acknowledge the source of them? Or do we, like the Samaritan, return and give thanks and worship? You know, gratitude is a vital aspect of our faith journey. We've just come through Thanksgiving, and you know what, when we sit there and talk about that, yeah, that's a day when we kind of mark being grateful for all the things that we have in our lives, the family around us, and all the many, many blessings. But as we mentioned last week, you know, Thanksgiving should be a lifestyle, not a day. So, you know, when we think about this, when we call on the Lord and when He shows up, do we go back to Him in gratitude and in thankfulness? Do we recognize that it was at His hand that the issue was solved, or that whatever the circumstance you prayed for, the healing is at His hand, whatever it may be? Do you go back and say, Lord, I just want to take the time to thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for healing my son or my daughter, my wife, my mom, my dad. Thank You, Father, for showing up in their health issue in a big way. And I know You use doctors, but Lord, it is at Your hand that this took place, and I want to praise You from the highest mountain. Do we do that? Or do we sit back and, like the little child, grab our blessing and just run? You see, gratitude, it's a vital aspect of our faith journey. You know, it fosters that deeper relationship with God, and it reminds us of His continual presence and provision in our lives. I mean, how many times do we sit back and, you know, go by and buy lunch somewhere, and we slap that money on the counter, or we swipe that debit card or whatever it is, and we may go sit down and we may go give thanks and say, thank You, Lord, you know, for the food that You've given us. But do you realize that He even was the one who provided the resources by which you could get that cheeseburger, that you can have those French fries and that drink? Do you ever pause to sit back and say, you know, Lord, thanks a bunch, man, for all that You do in my life? And it's not that we're just, you know, greedy little takers, but we need to be the ones to say thank you. In a like manner, I talked about when we started how if somebody's not showing gratitude for that big thing you did for them, you know, what it does to your heart. But then let's turn that around. What is it like when they do? What is it like when they realize it was a big deal? When they realize it cost a lot of money? When they realize that you thought enough of them to do, you know, insert the thing, you know, whatever, you know, and they're sitting there going, man, listen, I want to thank you so much for this. This is like one of the greatest gifts. I know that this had a lot of thought or heart, or there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into it. So I want to thank you, you know, for thinking enough of me to do this for me. Yeah, your heart at that point is like, yep, every overtime hour was worth it. Every penny I spent was worth it. You know, all the things that went into it, you know, lined up. And then you look at them and say, you're so welcome, but yet your heart is in the right place. Now think about that. When people are grateful to you for the things that you do, you know how that makes you feel. Imagine how God feels when we're actually grateful for all of the things that he does in our lives. Now, on top of that, this particular story encourages us to act in faith, trusting in God's promises, even when the outcome is not immediately visible. That's that faith factor we talked about earlier. You know, if God says it, just take it and say, okay, well, that's what God said to do. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Don't worry about how it's going to come out. He's already taken care of that. He is wanting to see if you and I are going to be obedient to follow what it is that he has asked us to do. You know, those lepers knew why they had to go to the priest. They had to go to the priest so that they could be deemed clean, all right? But they looked at themselves and realized, we're not clean. So they said, you know what? Doesn't matter. This is what Jesus told us to do. Let's head to the priest. And on the way, love that part, as they journeyed, the leprosy disappeared. Yeah, it reminds us that obedience to God's word often precedes the manifestation of his promises. You know what? It's kind of like that thing when you're sitting there going, here's what I want you to do. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, if the Lord at times gives us tests, and he says, well, you know what? If you're not willing to do what I tell you to do, then you're not going to reach the blessing at the end of the obedience. So some of us today are sitting there in the midst of being stubborn and going, I'm not going to do that because I still have the leprosy. And Jesus is like, well, the healing is in the journey. The healing is in the obedience. The healing comes when you follow what I have asked you to do. So listen, I want to encourage you today, if that's you, get up and start heading to see the priest because the blessing will come along the way. Now, the cleansing of the 10 lepers is a narrative that invites us to examine our faith, our gratitude, and our obedience to him. It calls us to recognize the transformative power of Jesus' touch in our lives and to respond with heartfelt gratitude and worship. So you see, there's a lot going on in this particular passage today. Man, I'll tell you, if it wasn't for that, you could preach several sermons out of that as a pastor because there are so many vital parts of it. So where did you fit in today's biblical narrative and in today's text? You know, are you one of the nine who didn't return? Are you the one who's coming back to be grateful? Are you the ones that, first of all, started the journey? Or maybe you need to get up and start that journey to be obedient to the Father to see great things happen. Listen, I'm going to be praying for you to be obedient and watch God do some incredible things. We'll be looking forward to that. Listen, before I close this out today, let me go ahead and tell you what your scripture reading for today is and what we're actually going to be looking at next week. This week, I want you to spend some time in John chapter 11. And next week, we will be looking at our 29th miracle. And this is going to be the raising of Lazarus from the dead. That comes out of John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. As we get close to the beginning of the year, a couple more weeks, and I'm going to introduce a new series to us. I'll just give you a little bit more information as we go. But for right now, we're going to wind down these last few miracles that we have planned. By the way, this is not an exhaustive list, even though we're next week is sermon number 29 or miracle number 29. We still won't have covered them all by the time we get to the end of this year. But study in John chapter 11, and we'll be looking forward to talking about Lazarus being raised from the dead when we come together next week. So let me have a word of prayer with you as we close our time today. Father, as we come to you today, we want to thank you for the lessons that we learned from this story of the 10 lepers. Father, we pray that you will help us to cultivate a heart of gratitude and always acknowledge your hand in our lives. Father, I pray that you will strengthen our faith to trust you and to obey your word, even when we cannot see what the outcome may be. Lord, may we always return to give you thanks and to give you glory. And Lord, we just pray that you will help draw us close through your word as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, listen, thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church. As always, I want to give you a personal invitation to come visit with us, that you might worship our Lord in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. We have a website. You usually see that on the bottom of your screen. There's www.oakridgecbc.org. And you can get any information from there. As always, if you have any questions, you can give us a call or an email. We are a conservative Southern Baptist church. We have opportunities for discipleship through Sunday school. We got Awana for the kids. We've got men and women small groups. And we would love to have you come and be a part of our worship service. May God bless you, and I pray that He gives you a great week as you walk hand in hand with Him. Thank you.